Good morning, everybody. It's Pastor Lou from Cross Ridge Community Church. I want to welcome you as you join us in worship today. And as we continue in the worship service, the first song we're going to sing is Praise Adonai. Adonai is Hebrew for Master, for Lord. So we're here to praise our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. For our call to worship today, Psalm 84, verses 4 and 5 read like this. If you can see this at home, read it with me. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those who strengthen you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. We're all on a pilgrimage. And we go on a pilgrimage because Jesus loves us and he leads us in his love. Because nobody, no one loves me like he does.
Thank you.
As we come to the scripture today, we're going to be reading from John 21, verses 15 to 25. It's probably a familiar story to all of you. And would you permit me to read it to you? John 21, 15 to 25. And when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." A third time, Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. May God add his blessing to his word. Let me take this opportunity to thank the praise people for coming to help us worship this morning, come before the throne of grace. This morning, I really feel led to pray for several things. First, I think we need to pray for our frontline workers, whether they're healthcare workers or retail, supermarket, whatever, who's ever coming in contact with the public now to serve and to help. We need to continue to hold those people in prayer. Secondly, I think we really need to pray for our churches in this country. There's no question that as the weeks go by and churches can't meet physically, it tends to take a toll, because I really believe nothing can replace the physical presence of a fellowship. And last, I think we need to pray for our country, our president, our vice president, our leaders, that they would seek our great God to continue to do the right thing. And so, would you join me in a time of prayer, please? Father, as we come before the throne of grace, I just ask that you continue to watch over those who are serving in the medical field, in the hospitals, those support staff, those who are serving in supermarkets, retail stores, delivery people, truck drivers, pharmacists, Father, and many, many others, restaurant workers who continue to serve. Father, we pray a hedge of protection around them, and we pray for their families too, that you would keep their families safe. We also, Father, want to pray for our churches, the churches who are so faithful in proclaiming the gospel. Many churches broadcasting in this way, Father, we just ask that you watch over them and supply all their need. Encourage the pastors, the congregations, encourage the outreaches that they still have, Father, even though we're not physically meeting. I pray, Father, against discouragement, against the schemes of Satan, Father, that he would want to sideline your church. And so, Father, we pray that you raise up the church in a mighty way and even in a stronger way than before. And, Father, I pray for our president. I pray for our vice president and all those who are making crucial decisions today. Father, sustain President Trump, Vice President Pence, their families, and the rest of the government leaders. And, Father, I pray that they would look to you and your word for your wisdom. I pray for our local leaders, Father, our police, our first responders. I pray for the township committees, that you would grant them wisdom, and the mayors. And I pray for Governor Murphy, Father, that you would lead him in the right way. Father, as we continue to worship, help us to worship in spirit and truth. We have a lot for which we give thanks. The fact that you give us breath today. And we'll continue to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
throne, which God supplies.
Go forth in grace alone. As we get settled and look at that passage that I read for you before, I don't think there's any one of us, if we're honest with ourselves and if we're honest with God, that we can honestly say at one time or another we haven't failed God. I want to set the context for this message. And the context is that, as you remember, when Jesus was betrayed and led away, most of the disciples followed at a distance. They didn't want to be associated with Jesus because they were afraid. They thought that they might be tried and killed next. And Peter was, impetuous Peter. Peter was always the one who had said, who had defended Jesus and said that he was willing to die for him. And you know the story. That night, Jesus predicted it, that before the cock would crow three times, by dawn, Jesus would deny Christ. And you might say, well, I can never do that. Well, we do it in a lot of ways, if we're honest with ourselves. We deny Christ any time we sin. We deny Christ sometimes with our words and with our actions. And so I want to talk about this matter of being imperfect. This side of heaven, we're not going to be perfect. There are going to be days where we fail God. There's going to be days when we fail others and days where we hurt God and we hurt others. So what's the solution here? Where do we go from here? The answer to that is simply grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. That's what it is. God is not obligated to love me. He loves me in spite of me. He certainly doesn't love me because I'm something special. I'm just a sinner. He doesn't love me because of who I am or where I came from. He just loves me and he gives me grace. And the first grace that he started with is the grace of salvation. And so, going back to Peter for a minute, realize this. Here's the context. Peter miserably failed the night before Jesus was crucified. So I think a lot of us can relate to Peter. It broke the fellowship between God and Peter. And Peter actually became broken over a situation. By morning, he said, when he looked Christ in the eyes on the way to the cross, he just broke down and cried. And so, in this passage this morning, we find that Jesus is willing to still extend to Peter extended incredible grace, even though he failed miserably. And so, that grace I want to submit is for us also. Now, I want to say something here. We can't take this message and say we can do anything we want because God will forgive us. That's not the intent here. The intent is to say that when we do fail, and if we come back to God in faith and repentance, that he will extend the grace of forgiveness. Now, to be clear, when Jesus first approached Peter as a fisherman and told him to leave his family business and come follow him, and Peter, by faith, followed him, at that point, Peter was saved. That was God's grace. He was saved by grace. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For it is by grace you are saved through faith, not by works, lest anybody should boast." And so Peter was saved the moment he trusted Jesus, but we can break that fellowship by sin. And so we are saved by grace. But I want to just emphasize before we go on to Peter's condition here that God's grace is available to all sinners, all sinners. It's appropriated through faith and repentance. God is willing to forgive us our sins, past, present, and future. He is also willing to unchain us from our sin, our shame, and to be free to lovingly obey Christ. He gives us new life and new purpose. That's what he did with Peter. He gives us a new destiny. That's certainly what he did with Peter. And we are saved, but still imperfect. We also need to forgive others just like Jesus has forgiven us. And so we come to Peter, who's failed miserably. Fellowship is broken with Jesus. And Jesus graciously, after the resurrection, appears to the disciples. He cooks breakfast for them. And then he has this incredible dialogue with Peter. And so he offers grace for restoration now. Grace for restoration. I want you to look at the dialogue, right? It says, "And when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Now, I'm not sure if Jesus was pointing to the other disciples or his business or what he was pointing to. Whatever he was pointing to, he wanted to draw out of Peter the affirmation, which Jesus knew already, that he loves Jesus more than anything. So he says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And then Jesus says something incredible. He didn't say, "Because you failed, I'm removing you from your ministry." He didn't say, "Because you failed, you're going to have to pay these consequences." What Jesus did here was to say to Peter, "I'm restoring you back to your ministry as a pastor. Feed my lambs." Well, it goes on. Again, Jesus said to Simon, son of John, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And then he says, "Take care of my sheep." So he asked him for a second time. And then for a third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt. You can picture Peter with his personality. He was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And then he said, "Feed my sheep." So the question comes up, why was Peter asked three times? Why did Jesus ask him three times? And I think the answer lays in this. Jesus knows exactly how to handle each of us. If you recall, prior to the crucifixion, Peter denied Jesus how many times? Three times. Publicly, he denied Jesus three times. And I really think God, through Christ, used this three-faceted response to let Peter know beyond all shadow of a doubt, because he came back in faith and repentance to Jesus, that he proclaimed his love publicly now three times, and the whole incident now was behind him. Not only was it behind him, but he was restored to fellowship and restored to his ministry. This is the grace that God offers for restoration for any of us. For any of us. And I hope we don't, in our comfortableness of Christianity, if I could put it that way, I hope we don't come to a point where we think we'll never need this type of grace. The truth be known, we need it just about every day. And so John puts it this way in one of his letters. In 1 John 1:9, he says, if we sin and we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, it says. Confess. Confess means we need to confess the sin specifically. Specifically. Agree with God that it's an offense against Him. Genuine repentance means we really want to turn away from that, and we experience some sorrow for having offended God and having hurt others. There's another part of this that I think Jesus is implying here in his conversation with Satan. Don't believe Satan, with Peter. Don't believe Satan's lies. In other words, here's Peter. He was discouraged. He was probably ashamed even to be with Jesus, knowing that he had denied him. And it's at this point that Satan can plant those thoughts into our hearts and our minds that we're a failure, that we're bad, we don't deserve God's love, and so on and so forth. And those are lies. Those are lies. God's grace is offered to anybody who will come back in genuine confession and repentance, along with his restoration. I can't even imagine how Peter's jaw dropped when Jesus said to him, "Peter, you're going to be a pastor again. You're going to feed my sheep." And Peter, well, he had the opportunity not too long after that to preach one of the most powerful messages on the day of Pentecost. And 5,000 people came to know the Lord that day. And he went on to be a great apostle. But he wasn't perfect. He still had times of failure. He still had times that he had to wrestle with. And that brings me to the last grace. Grace for the journey. I'm sure, as you saw in the last part of this passage, Peter still was worried about not only him, but the treatment that Jesus was giving the other disciples. And he was asking Jesus, "Well, what's going to happen to them?" And Jesus says, "It's none of your business. That's my business, Peter. You just keep going on the commission that I give to you." Basically, that's what he's saying. Excuse me. And then he gives us grace for the journey. And Peter pressed him. He pressed him again. He says, "What about John?" You know, John's called the beloved disciple. That's what he calls himself in here. And he says, "What about John?" And Jesus says, "I got plans for John. If I want him to stay around until I come back again, then I'll have him stay around. But Peter, it's not your concern." I think too many times we get sidetracked by others and looking at them and comparing ourselves. And Jesus just wanted Peter to say and come to the agreement, "No, we concentrate on your journey. You're going to be a pastor." So God has a plan for all of us, including Peter. Our purpose, like Peter's, is to proclaim the gospel. Our purpose is, and our ministry is to bring glory to the Lord, not ourselves. And with God's help, we can finish the journey well. And the question is, will we let him work in and through us in spite of our imperfections? Now, we don't have time to go into it this morning, but along the way, Peter always has foot and mouth disease. He always started to say things that I'm sure he regretted. And there were times where he and Paul had disagreements over how the Gentiles and the Jews were treated, how Peter sometimes withdraw from the Gentiles when the Jews came into the picture. And that was an ongoing struggle. So the reason why I'm telling you this is because Peter wasn't perfect, but he learned his lesson. He never, ever, ever denied Jesus again. And so, the grace for the journey. God will give us grace for what he calls us to do. The song that we sang right before the message, "Grace Alone," that says it all. So I need to ask a question today. As Christ followers, are we willing to admit that we aren't perfect? Satan would want us to believe that we're defeated and discouraged by our imperfections. But God offers grace for restoration, grace for the journey. God can do great things through Christ followers who learn from their failures. You know, most adults learn by failure. That's the truth. Most adults learn by failure. It would be a sin to fail and not learn from it, and not to go on with Christ, and to start to believe the lies of Satan that we're defeated and discouraged. We're not. God can do great things through Christ followers who will learn from their failure. In the process, we learn more about our weaknesses and more about how to depend on God's strength and not our own. Are we willing to do that? This has been a tough 6-7 weeks for all of us. And I'm sure we've had some down days, some days where we got discouraged, some days where even our actions would seem to deny Christ. A.W. Tozer, many years ago, I spent a lot of time in New York City, in Midtown Manhattan. And he made this statement, and I don't think it's too much different today. He says, as I walk through the crowded streets of Manhattan, and I look at people, it's very hard to tell the difference between the Christ followers and the non-Christ followers. The difference ought to be our actions, our words, our outlook on life, our purpose, and the new life that we have in Christ. And so, I would just reiterate and leave this for you to think about. God offers grace for imperfect people like you and me. He saved us by grace. When we fail, He offers to restore us by grace when we come in repentance and faith. And then He gives us grace to continue the journey. Amen? Thank God for His grace. Let us never take it for granted. Praise team. As we sing this last song, I hope you're able to see the words. I'm having trouble getting the right combinations. But you should know it. Be encouraged in your heart.
I see hope coming on the horizon. There's no need for hiding, 'cause I've here.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, would you send us out in that hope of your grace? Send us out to know that you're with us, even when we're imperfect. And Holy Spirit, when we do sin, when we do deny our Christ, would you prod us to come back to you in faith and repentance to receive his restoring grace? And Father, we'll be careful to give you all the thanks. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
God bless. Lord willing, we'll see you next week.